You'll be turning with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We just sang the song about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now one day He's coming, and what a beautiful day, wonderful day, glorious day that will be. Friends, how do we know about Jesus? How do we know about God? How is it that we know God's plan for us? How is it that we know His plan of salvation? How is it that we know anything about our Lord and Savior as He lived upon this earth and He bled and died for the remission of my sins? I can know these things and I can be assured of my salvation because of the book that I hold in my hands tonight. Because of the book that we call the Bible. It is the only book that holds the answers. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, I want you to notice what the Lord says here to Joshua as He is beginning now to lead the people of Israel. He says there to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." What is it about this book that makes it so unique to the Christian? What is it about this book that should make it so profound and have such a profound effect upon our lives? Let's discuss a few things tonight about this book, our God, and us. First of all, this book. This book is the law. We just read concerning the old law, concerning the law of Moses, as Joshua was to keep it. It was to be in his mouth. It was to be a part of him. It was to be in him. The law can be the Ten Commandments. The law can be the Pentateuch, that is the first five books of the Bible. The law can be the whole Bible, which is the way that we would understand it today. We look at it as a whole, as 66 books. Now, of course, we abide by the 27 of the New Testament, but we know that we can learn from the old as well. It is the book of God's law. What do we know then about this book? We know that it is the inspired Word of God, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It is God-breathed. Every Scripture is inspired. It was given to us by God Himself, 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. Because of that, it is profitable unto every good work. Again, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It is educational. Concerning the old law, Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 15 and verse 4, "Whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for what? Our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Titus 2 and verse 11, same thing. It's powerful. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "The Word of God is quick, alive that is, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." That's what the book of God is. It is life-changing. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. It is our guide. Psalm 119 and 105. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It is purifying. Psalm 119 and verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The book of God is all of these things. John 17 and verse 17 talks about "Thy word is truth." The book of God is true. And friends, it verifies our salvation. 1 John 5 and verse 13, John tells us that we can know that we are saved. What do we know about this book? What do we know about the Bible, this Scripture that God has given us? It is inspired, indeed. It is profitable, it's educational, it's powerful, it's life-changing. It is our guide, our roadmap, if you will. It is purifying, it's truth, and it verifies our salvation. And friends, this book is the way to faith, Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This book is the way to life. We know that life is found through Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We go through Him to life. This book is the way to action. We're called, as Christians, we are called to action. This book is the way to reality. We look at the reality of this world around us, and friends, our saving grace is found in the book of God. It's found in the Bible. We know this because God's Word tells us these things. What does God have to say to Joshua about this book and this mouth? It shall not, God says, depart out of thy mouth. Friends, what does that mean to you and I as Christians? How do we take that? Do we take it seriously? You think about Joshua in this day, constantly as Moses was speaking to Joshua, he would be talking to him about God, preparing him to lead God's people, preparing him to do what Moses himself was not going to be able to do and take the people into the land of Canaan. Friends, God has given us His Word, and it should not depart out of our mouths. Christians should talk about the Word of God. Why? Why should you and I, why should we talk about God's Word? Well, number one, it's God's Word. We should talk about God's Word because it is His Word. There's no subject more valuable to talk about than the inspired Word of God. We should talk about the Word of God because talking about God's Word might help or encourage another believer. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. Let's look at that for a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. Beginning in verse 12, we read, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Notice this, verse 13. "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We ought to talk about God's Word because it can encourage one another. We ought to talk about God's Word because talking about God's Word might help, encourage, or educate myself. We're told to sing about God and to God. We are to you when a lot of our songs, are they not based upon Scripture? And in singing, do we not educate ourselves about God's Word? Talking about God's Word educates me. It encourages me. It helps me. So we ought to talk about God's Word. Talking about God's Word also accomplishes God's purpose, does it not? Talking about God's Word, does it not spread His gospel, spread His good news? Builds upon the foundation that Jesus Himself has laid. It accomplishes God's purpose. And God says when we talk about His Word, it will not come back to Him void. It will bear fruit. What about this book in this mind? God says to Joshua, "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Friends, let me tell you one thing. We cannot have the Word of God on our lips unless it is in our minds and in our hearts. We cannot give out what is not inside. And meditation is the way we digest the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalm 1. And read with me verses 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Friends, how often Have we read a passage and then gone and contemplated upon it? What does this mean in my life today? What does this passage say that I can take away from that and apply it to my own life? Do we meditate upon the Scriptures as we should? We read or we think about a memorized portion of Scripture. After a while, we think on it some more, striving to understand its meaning and how it applies to my life. Friends, when I meditate on God's Word, when I meditate upon it and I learn something from God's Word, don't you think that I might want to talk about it? Might want to talk about it with others, but also I might want to talk about it with the Lord. And meditating upon God's Word, it might strengthen my prayer life, don't you think? I think of what I must do to practice the Scripture when I meditate upon God's Word. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I want you to notice with me beginning of verse 15. Psalmist writes, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Friends, if the word of God is going to be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts, that we need to memorize it then, don't we? Some portions of it. But if you want to know God in an intimate way, not only do we need to do our best to memorize what God has to say concerning us and our lives, but we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to know the Scriptures and we need to meditate on them. Isn't that what He tells Joshua? Meditate on them day and night. What about this book? And these eyes. God says to Joshua that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Friends, quite simply, God wants obedience from His children. God wants obedience from His children just as you expect or expected obedience from your children. I'm sure that John was echoing the words of God when he said in 3 John and verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Friends, you see, the more the Word of God is in my mind and on my lips, the more likely I am to observe my behavior, make sure that it conforms to the Word of God. Transforming my mind, as it were, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm more likely then to obey it. Friends, many times there are those that may not obey the Word of God because of ignorance. Now friends, in and of itself, it's not a sin to be ignorant. However, it is a sin to remain ignorant. Let's look at 2 Peter 3. In verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Peter says, but grow. Seems to be a theme of Peter's. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Friends, are we growing in the Word of God as we ought to? And friends, remember that God is not satisfied that we just hear the Word of God or even that we just memorize the Word of God and meditate upon it. God is satisfied when and only when we hear it, we believe it, and we obey it. James 1 and verse 22 speaks of not being a hearer only, but also a doer of the Word. Friends, do we live our lives according to the Word of God? If we hear the Word, and we understand it and we do not obey it, then we are fooling ourselves into thinking that we're right with God when actually we're not. Ezra the scribe, a great leader among the Jews, in Ezra 7 and verse 10 tells us the secret to his success there. Let's look at Ezra 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra writes, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Friends, could that be said of us? Have we prepared our hearts to seek the law of the Lord, but not just to seek it, but once we find it, to continue to grow in it and to do it? We are to observe God's Word and live it. May we be those that seek the Word, obey the Word, and teach the Word every chance that we get. Make sure that we have our eyes to observe the Word with the intent of obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Now friends, what about this book and this life? God tells Joshua, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have, or thou shalt rather, have good success." What is the value of talking, memorizing, meditating, and obeying the Word of God in this life? There are two promises given here to Joshua. There are two promises really for those that do these things. The first promise is for prosperity. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Now friends, this is not necessarily financial prosperity. But rather it's prosperity within the Christian life. As I meditate and as I memorize, as I speak of and as I do God's Word, I will be prosperous. God will bless those that obey Him. That doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer in this life, that we're not going to have trials that come up. But friends, we will be prosperous in the Christian life. My prayer life will improve. There will be less anxiety in life. There will be victory over sin and ultimately over death. There will be a future reward, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There will be an unleashing, as it were, in a manner of speaking, of the power of the Spirit of God in my life. And Colossians 3 and verse 16 and Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, that indicates there that being filled with God's Spirit is being filled with God's Word. They're parallel. The second promise that God gives to Joshua there is for those who speak of God's Word, meditate on it, and obey it, He promises success. The idea of this word, translated in this way, is that of wisdom. We're going to have troubles. We're going to face trials. As we talked about this morning, we're going to face conflict in this life. But we're going in those things, we will have God's wisdom to help us handle those problems, to help us overcome and be successful in that if we follow God's plan, if we do it how He told us to do it. That's what we know about this book. And that's what God told Joshua about the book of the law in Joshua 1 and verse 8. Will we allow this book to fundamentally change our lives? Will we allow this book to grow within us so that we might bear fruit? Will we do as God commanded Joshua? and meditate upon it day and night. Commit it to memory. Speak about it, not letting it depart out of our mouths. And saying, obey it, of course, observing all that God has told us to do. And if we do those things, God has promised His blessings upon us. And He's promised us life eternal. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. What do we know about this book? Friends, contained within these pages is the greatest story ever told. From Genesis chapter 1 to the end of Revelation, it tells the story of Jesus. It tells us of God's plan concerning His creation. It tells us how God went about bringing Jesus Christ to this earth to die upon a cruel tree. And that He did so willingly for me. What do I know about this book, friends? It tells me what I must do to be saved. This book tells me that I must hear the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith there as well. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It tells me, friend, that once I have that faith, after I've heard the Word of God, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that I then must repent. Jesus Himself uttered those words in Luke 13 and verse 3. Must repent, lest ye all likewise perish. Once I repent, that is, once I put sin behind me and I've given my life over to God, over to Christ, I must then confess Him before me in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Would you do those things tonight? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Would you put sin behind you, giving your life wholly over to God and confessing Christ before men? Would you then be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38? Would you do that tonight? Friend, are you here? Being a member of the Lord's church, but you're erring. You've got sin in your life. Something maybe that was done publicly that needs to be confessed and repented of publicly. Would you do that this evening? Returning to Christ, giving your life back to Him, committing once more to live your life for Him. What do I know about this book? It's God's gift to man. Would you accept the gift of salvation that He offers tonight? Friend, would you come while we stand and while we sing?